Welcome to Comics on Comics, folks, and I just fucked that up. I am your host, Sam, and with me, we have pretty good open micer, podcaster, my buddy Kevin. Kevin?
Thank you, Sam, for inviting me on here. I admire the fact that you're not willing to stop a pre-recorded podcast in order to, you know, save the intro. Respect for that, man.
I appreciate that. So this is a different episode from the regular Comic on Comic format. It's what we call an extracurricular episode, where we change it from your normal comic episode, and we're going to talk about professional wrestling, something I love dearly. I know Kevin does as well.
I'm very excited about this, Sam. You hit me up about this episode. You're like, Kevin Porter, we talk about professional wrestling, and I want you on here. And I was like, dude, book me a ticket. Get me on that train. Let's go.
Dude, book ya for a long fucking time. I've been wanting to do this with you since, like, they announced All In.
So, yeah, I was pretty excited when they announced that, dude.
And then they did it. And then they announced All Elite Wrestling. And
now
then
we're in All Elite. Double or nothing. They're going double or nothing. They're rolling the dice. Not thinking twice, Sam.
Needless to say, this has been in the cards for a while. So, but we are here now. We're with you, Kevin. So let's get right into it, man.
I'm pretty fucking excited, Sam.
Oh, dude, any day you could talk pro wrestling is good fucking day by me, my friend. Ian had my Joe Hendry shirt on.
Oh,
local hero.
Local Boom. Hero, bro.
Hell yeah.
Represent.
So, Kevin, how far back you go with wrestling? What got you into that?
Well, my story of professional wrestling goes back to 1993. I have some vague memories of, like, 1988 or 1989 seeing Hulk Hogan. And I remember we had one single wrestling action figure, and it was Hulk Hogan. It was my sister's, because supposedly my sister had a crush on Hulk Hogan. At least that's what my fucking dad tells me. And so then come 1993, somehow, like, back in the day, you were able to get pay-per-views for free. And even, like, going up to, like, the late 90s and, like, 99, 2000, I was able to get some, like, free WCW pay-per-views.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. That's a whole different story. Anyway, going back to 1993, but I remember somehow acquiring the rights to see WrestleMania 9. So okay. WrestleMania 9 was technically, like, my first, like, introduction officially into professional wrestling, and just week in, week out. Like, because Raw just had debuted a couple months before, so I basically just watched Raw every week, and that was my introduction.
And that was back when old Macho Man was doing commentary, right?
Yeah, it was Macho Man was doing the commentary. Macho Man had just come off an impressive run in the Royal Rumble that year, lasting all the way to the very end with Yokozuna, famously trying to cover Yokozuna for the 1-2-3 in the fucking Royal Rumble. I'm pretty sure Bobby Heenan called him out on that one.
Holy fuck, I remember that Rumble, too.
Ironically, that was the last time it was ever Gorilla Monsoon and Bobby Heenan as, like, just them as the sole commentary team.
Aw, oh, dude.
WrestleMania 9, they went with Jim Ross, Bobby Heenan, and the Macho Man.
Man, and going off a quick tangent for a sec, talk about your tandem all-time great commentary teams. A lot of people say the King and JR, which they're great, but I mean, Gorilla and the Brain, man. Yeah,
fucking, you know, it's funny because we look back so with such, like, good intentions on, like, how good it was, but, like, I've heard, because, like, again, I was a kid and I was just, like, you know, 4 or 5,
right,
and this is all going down, so I'm not, like, you know, checking all the dirt sheets and all that, you know, back then in the late 80s, but and reading all the, you know, the newsletters. But, like, Gorilla Monsoon wasn't always, like, looked back upon as, like, a very well-received commentator. Like, back, like, with the NWA and the AWA, he was,
yeah,
actually, like, pretty third rate, according to a lot of people's opinions back in the day. But, I mean, that just goes to show people's, like, you know, it was either your NWA, you know, AWA, fucking WWF or whatever, you know, it's just...
Right, things...
Seems for the times, I suppose, I don't know.
I mean, things really were quite segmented before Vince ruined the business and destroyed all the territories and shit.
Yeah, he offered to pay those people out. It's their fault they didn't see the fucking writing on the
wall. I mean, yeah. But, you know, maybe it is just looking back with rose-colored glasses, you know?
Yeah, rose-colored glasses, that's a better way to put it.
Gorilla with the Brain and Gorilla with Body, Jesse Ventura.
They throw Vince in there whenever Vince was with them too, dude. Like, enjoyed the WWF product from the mid '80s. Like, going back now and looking at it, I was like, dude, this is great shit. Like, I enjoy the fuck out of this.
Right.
But, you know, yeah.
I grew up a WCW guy. You know, that's my main thing that I watched was WCW and NWA bullshit.
When did you start watching wrestling?
Well, to just go against what I just said, my earliest memory watching wrestling was, I want to say, what was it, WrestleMania 7? Hogan and Slaughter for the strap?
Yeah, it was WrestleMania 7.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I remember that event specifically because I was a Hulkamaniac, dude. I loved Hulk Hogan. Probably not as much as your sister. It is two different loves, really.
My sister was like 3 when that happened.
Oh, so
who's your kid crush? Oh, it was Hulk Hogan. It's like, what the fuck? That man is balding and has a horrible mustache. He looks like a fucking hot dog. If I could steal from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Oh, dude, bonus points for that, my friend. I mean, you know, it's those 24-inch pythons, brother.
Yeah. That little steroid bean is, you know. Put a bit of that in there, too.
Oh, that broke my heart so bad when that came out. And dropping all those N-words. Holy crap.
I know, it's like fucking Hulk Hogan has a 12-inch penis, but Terry Bollea probably, we're looking at 5, 5.5.
You're not so immortal now, Hulkster.
Immortalize that, brother.
Holy crap, dude. Yeah, so that was the first event I remember watching. Mm-hmm. And it's something I did with my grandpa a whole lot, watching wrestling. Nice. I mean, he watched everything, WWF, WCW, but...
So what drew you to WCW then?
I would watch both, and dudes in WWF that I really, really loved. Like, to this day, Bret Hart's still my all-time favorite wrestler. But with your Bret Harts and shit, you also had Duke the Dumpster Drozzy and Dude, the fucking yeah. Repo Man. And I mean, that shit was so stupid.
As a kid that grew up on that, dude, I was always like solidly a WWF guy.
Yeah.
You know, I was always a WWF kid. But I remember my first memory of like WCW was like, they did like a WCW Saturday night, like, and they were like out in like Daytona Beach or some shit. And they were, like, in a street. Because they were outside. I remember Brian Pillman in a match. And then my official, like, first time I really, truly remember watching it was, like, I used to watch, like, the Sunday's, like, main event or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And they did it was, like, Bash at the Beach 95. And they were out there on the sand out there in, like, fucking whatever. It was, like, Hermosa Beach or whatever the fuck it was in California. And, like, that was my introduction to WCW. It was, like...
See, the WWF had some kind of, well, not kind of, truly horrendous gimmicks for wrestlers.
No, you can say, dude, they were shitty fucking gimmicks. Like, Bruce Prichard wrote a bunch of that shit, and we look at him now, and it's like, oh, look at this podcast, he's so fucking smart. But it's like, you gotta remember, he wrote a majority of the worst years of WWF's history, creatively.
I will give WWF this, though, at least their pay-per-views weren't stupid gimmicks. Like, really? You're gonna have a fucking wrestling event in the middle of Sturgis?
I always liked the Lethal Lottery, like Slamboree.
Yeah.
The Lethal Lottery was always fun, I thought.
Oh, dude, I was a really big fan of War Games.
I liked War Games.
Yes.
It's kind of like, I look back at it now, and like, especially those last, you know, when they were like straight up like under the WCW banner, and they were running it as a monthly like,
yeah.
September pay-per-view. It kind of falls under, you know, how they do it now with the Hell in the Cell every October. And how it has to, like, you have to warrant that match, you know, within this time of the year, you know, specifically. And to me, that's always, like, I've never enjoyed that with the Hell in the Cell, at least. And I can look back probably in the War Games if I was an adult then watching it. Because it's like, well, maybe a match in January warrants War Games. Why does it have to be in September or October?
Right.
Know? So that always, like, handcuffed, like, the gimmick, I guess, is, you know, what it's
Yeah, dude.
Saying.
Like, you know, when they use something like a Hell in a Cell to push, you know, a rivalry, like anybody versus Mick Foley.
Yeah. Mick Foley fought everybody. Taker was in the majority of that fucking shit, dude.
And fucking Hunter, too, and Triple
Hunter
H.
Hunter was in a fucking handful of those fucking matches.
I mean, you know, when it's used to push a gimmick or a storyline, uh-huh. I really dig it.
Yeah.
But when the main purpose of a pay-per-view
uh-huh.
is...
Just to see the Hell.
Yeah, it's whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I remember when they first started it, I remember what they had, like, the CM Punk Undertaker. And they'd had, like, a pay-per-view match the month prior, but it's just like,
right.
Okay, yeah, 2 months in, it's Blood Feud, guys. We're going, like, I remember, was it 2006? No, 2005, with Undertaker and Randy Orton. Those guys feuded all the way from fucking WrestleMania 21 all the way up until fucking Hell in a, or it was Armageddon.
Yeah.
That year, that December, and it ended. Their feud ended in a Hell in a Cell, and it was a bloody fucking mess.
And see, that makes sense though. That furthered the storyline. That served a purpose for
it. It's the same thing with War Games back in like 83 and whatever with Dusty and shit.
Yeah, dude.
Because it was fucking blood feuds, like Horsemen versus fucking Dusty.
Yeah.
Road Warriors and shit. Fucking.
It served a purpose in the story.
Exactly.
It's not the okay.
Culmination, not a fucking a bump in the road. You know, like, oh, 2 months in, guys, boom, Hell in a Cell.
All right, you never wrestled this person. You guys are going to wrestle for the U.S. strap. Oh, it's going to be in a Hell in a Cell.
I know.
Okay.
This is like a six-year-old booking this shit on fucking PS4 or some shit.
Dude, I'll be honest now. I don't want to sound like that guy, you know, that part of the IWC or whatever, but I can't watch WWE anymore, man. It's not my jam.
Yeah.
I stopped watching that fully, like, oh, fuck, 8 years ago. It's just because of shit like that, you know?
Well, I congratulate you on breaking the addiction. You know, if it wasn't for me having my own wrestling podcast, the Totally Necessary Wrestling Podcast drops every Friday, you know, I probably would have stopped watching a long time ago, dude.
Right.
You know, like, but I don't know. Sometimes I find enjoyment out of it. Sometimes I, you know, they're like with this whole, like, NXT call up. I'm like, oh, cool, you know. And most of the time, dude, I just smoke a lot of weed anyway and just watch wrestling. So it's like a lot of times I try to find the best out of it.
Right.
But I can understand why anybody would walk away. Like, I get it.
Yeah, I mean, like, thank God there's indies now, dude. Like,
yeah.
I watched the fuck out of Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
And like Impact. I still watch Impact. And like I said at the start of the show, AEW, I'm. Oh, dude, I'm all in on AEW, man. I'm all in on it. That's right.
Yeah. I feel the same way, dude. Like, I've ventured off, you know, and I cover and I'll watch, like, New Japan.
Oh, yes.
And, I wish, I don't know, well, I don't know, like, I'm somewhat still, like, I still want to watch it, but, like, the whole, you know, AEW being created, it's like, that was the whole reason I was watching New Japan in the first place.
Right.
But I'll still, like, I don't know, Switchblade, Jay White, I mean, I guess, you know, the jury's still out in regards to how that's gonna turn out, but
right. Oh,
they still got Kota Ibushi.
Yeah, they still got Ibushi. They still got Okada.
Yeah, they still got fucking
OG Triple OG, freaking Bullet Club.
Yeah, and it's cool. Like you're talking about Ring of Honor because like it seems like they're like going through a major. Not I mean they'll all fucking publicly they're not gonna say it's a major revamp. But, you know, they're definitely introducing new characters on...
Oh, absolutely.
You know, especially, like, Ring of Honor, I've been pretty intrigued with, because they got, what's it, CJ Parker?
Yeah.
He's fucking been on there. Marty Scurll's up with Brody King and fucking PCO now. Like, mm-hmm. That's fucking Dylan Enterprises.
Yeah, dude.
That's pretty fucking cool.
Fuck, I watched a match the other day with one of the dudes from CMLL.
I was going to say Roosh.
Roosh.
Yeah, Roosh.
Yeah,
that guy is like, yeah...
I love him. And Bandido.
Bandido.
Oh.
Yeah. Bandido's in that new group that they're. Cause they
Lifeblood.
Lifeblood, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I just saw that shit on TV this like last like weekend, I think. Not last weekend, but the weekend before.
Right. And, you know, it goes to what you're saying. Publicly, they're not saying it, but, like, both New Japan and ROH, they lost the Bucks, they lost Cody.
Lost Hangman.
But, you know, I think it's okay because they've, especially ROH, they lose dudes almost all the time. Like,
yeah, it's CM Punk, Samoa Joe, Daniel Bryan, Seth, you know, Tyler Black.
Right.
You know, all fucking Christopher Daniels.
They lost SCU, yeah, too.
SCU, too. I mean, that's like...
The SCU.
Yeah, that's like one of the most over gimmicks on fucking wrestling.
Oh, yeah. Hero, dude. My hero is Kaz. I love Frankie, the heavy metal rebel. Oh, yeah. And I think he makes that gimmick for me because... Well, they all do because they're so into it. That's what makes it fun. Mm-hmm. When a wrestler is really into it. And that's something I don't really see a whole lot on your... quote-unquote mainstream shows anymore. Mm. Well, I don't really watch it enough to know, so you could tell me if I'm wrong.
No, I mean, like, it's scripted more. I mean, you know, obviously they don't have the liberties that, you know... I mean, it's WWE, it's corporate.
Right.
Wrestling, so, you know.
What kept you in the game of wrestling? Like, what about it specifically made you think, hey, this is something I could really get behind. This is something I could geek out to. This is something that's kind of special, because if you think about it, there really is no sort of entertainment art form quite like it.
I would say the thing that's kind of kept my attention all the whole time is, like, when I was a kid, like, my favorite part wasn't always the matches. Like, the matches were kind of secondary to me. My like, initial being drawn to it was the entrances, the music, the lights, like, the costumes, like, the colors. Like, Bret Hart, dude. Like, that pink, dude. That pink was so fucking... I don't know. There was just something, like, all the above, dude, where it was just, like, you know, I like the matches, and as I've gotten older, like, I think that's truly where, you know, I find my enjoyment now. But, like, as a kid, initially, it was just the theatrics of the actual fucking, you know, show itself. But, you know, as I got older, I mean, you know, your Chris Benoit's, your Eddie Guerrero's, your Jericho's, your Chris Jericho's, you know, Rey Mysterio, WCW, basically, that whole undercard is what, like, really kind of, like, got me into, like, professional fucking wrestling. And then finding ECW, and then, you know, obviously with the Attitude Era and whatnot.
Right.
And, you know, and, like, a lot of people, you know, stopped watching 2001 when they had that culmination with WCW being bought. I mean, that's when, like, my best friend that I, you know, like, all throughout middle school would just watch wrestling. That's all it was about, dude.
Mm.
When 2001 hits, the fucking WCW's gone, he just stopped watching. I kept watching.
Yeah, a lot of people... Watching. I noticed that's when a lot of people really dropped off.
Yeah. Whether they went to MMA or they, you know, just got bored and did other shit, you know, that was, like, definitely a cutting off point. I don't know, dude. Like, it was just something that's always stuck with me, dude. I've always found it fucking interesting as fuck, dude. Like, storylines and professional wrestling. I don't know. It's professional wrestling. Only other people that watch professional wrestling know what I'm talking about right now.
Dude, you know? Totally. And I'm right there with
you.
Like,
people watch soap operas, you know, Young and the Restless. That shit's been on for like 40 fucking years. Dude. Like 50, 60 years or whatever it is. I don't know.
All wrestling is a violent soap opera.
Yeah, it's a male soap opera.
Yeah.
We've been hearing it our whole fucking lives. Right? Our whole fucking lives people have been telling that to us.
And you know what? I actually see the beauty in that now. I truly do. So, when you were a kid, who were some of your favorite characters in the wide wrestling world?
The wide wrestling world? Initially, my favorite wrestler, I would say, was probably, like you said, you know, Bret Hart. Was, like, especially watching WWF.
Right.
In those down years. Bret Hart was definitely a shining light within a dark array of fucking shitty characters. But I liked him. I liked Owen Hart. I did like Shawn Michaels. I like Diesel. Razor Ramon. Those are the guys I grew up with. And then once I started watching WCW in, like, 95, like, Sting was, like, obviously the first guy that, like, caught my attention over there. The Road Warriors were always fucking fun. I didn't really like Lex Luger that much. I always thought he was kind of a douchebag. Like, but I was happy when he won the world title, you know?
Yeah, throw the guy a bone.
Yeah.
Shit. Nah, man, I feel you on that because... A lot of people give Nash crap for tearing his quad just walking down the aisle.
Yeah.
But, I mean, back in the day when he was Diesel and when he went over as an outsider, dude was a good big guy. Dude could really work.
Like, he talked too, man. Like, I love
listening. Oh, he was good on the stick.
Nash talk, dude. And just, like, I loved him. And, like, yeah, that whole... Trying to think, like, X-Pac was cool. I liked X-Pac.
Right.
X-Pac was cool. Trying to think anybody else. Smoking Guns, I guess I kind of like the Smoking Guns.
Billy and Bart?
Billy and Bart, dude. As the tandem of Smoking Guns.
And Bart.
Hey, man, their feud against the Body Donnas, you know, is fucking quietly underrated.
Okay. I mean, no.
Tom Pritchard is a fucking saint, Sam.
Yes, he is. As long as you don't go saying that Vince Russo is, because I will not tolerate.
I will smash Vince Russo.
I will not tolerate that type of hate speech here.
I hope Vince Russo listens to this shit. He's like, Kevin Porter, stay away from me, motherfucker. Beat my ass if he ever sees me.
And that's a shoot too, brother. It's not. Yeah, it's not a work.
Yeah, it's not a work. We don't fucking work people here.
Oh,
we
hell
shoot,
no.
Shoot, Sam.
That's right, straight shooter, brother. As I talked to you before the start of the show, you're familiar with Dirt Sheets, with the Aftermags, with the PWIs.
My response to you was, I'm nerdy as fuck, Sam.
Exactly. So, just like the PWI 500, right? Mm-hmm. We're going to break it down
to
top 10.
Okay.
wrestlers.
Okay.
Past, present, future. What cracks Kevin Porter's top 10?
Fuck, dude. That's quite the top 10 we're going to assemble here, Sam.
Mm-hmm.
Right off the top, I'm going to throw up Hardcore Holly as an honorable mention for not making my top 10. Because you know, Hardcore Holly back in the day had some fucking damn good fucking matches back on.
You know what? That dude really doesn't get enough play. He doesn't get enough respect that I think he's due.
I think so.
I mean, he was in the WWF for, what, 15 years before he bounced? He started... Yeah. He had that really crappy Sparky plug gimmick.
I think it may have been longer than that. I think he didn't bounce a lot. Like, when did he leave the WWF?
2008? 9? 10?
Yeah, I think you're right, like 2009. Yeah. No, he had a damn good fucking run there, dude.
Oh, fuck yeah.
He had a damn good fucking run. I just, like, I don't know, man. I remember that same Valentine's Day Masquerade match against fucking Al Snow, dude. And for some reason, that one always stuck with me. Because they ended up in, like, the fucking Mississippi River or some shit.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
So, like, that always stuck with me a lot. But I would say he's definitely an honorable mention. Number 10, you know, and this is just completely off the top of my head, so, you know, people can argue my perceived top 10 to their top 10 any day of the week. But I'm going to throw Sid Justice in there, man.
Yeah.
Psycho Sid was a very... I mean, he was always good on the mic. You know, I wouldn't say he's good, but it was always interesting to hear him fucking, you know, speak. And I think that run that he had when he won the world championship, you know, back in like 96, end of 96, going in 97, like, dude, I thought that was a pretty fucking solid run. Like,
oh, it was a good run. And he played the monster heel really good. But the only person worse on the stick was probably Ultimate Warrior.
Ultimate Warrior was fucking hot garbage. But still, like, he'd motivate me. Be like, yeah, I want to go fucking work out right now. Fucking power to the Warriors. Like, you know, like.
Hell yeah, man. I mean, goddamn, Sid Justice. I wouldn't peg him to be on anybody's
top 10. But hey, this is Kevin Porter's top 10. This ain't no regular top 10, man. Fucking,
That's right, brother.
I'll go number 9, Dean Malenko. Dean Malenko, I think, was a fucking damn good submission wrestler, and pound for pound was always my favorite cruiserweight.
Man of a thousand holds, bro.
Yeah.
Man
of a thousand fucking holds. Let's go number 8, Billy Kidman as my number 8 top wrestler of all time. I think once he disbanded from the flock with Raven,
right?
I think he was pound for pound. Took over that Dean Malenko spot as the top cruiserweight. I think, like, he had a real solid run those, like 90, what was that, like 98 or whatever when he kind of, like,
yeah,
broke out on his own. So, like, 98, 99, like, even to the very fucking end in 01, dude.
And fuck, even Hogan put him over in a rivalry.
I was
going to say, when he fought
Hogan, I was totally down for that, dude.
Yeah, dude.
I was down for that shit back in that New Blood fucking era.
Fuck yeah, and he had a real pretty shooting star, too. Yeah, his shooting star was awesome. It really was.
It really was a good one, dude. I would say number 7, rest in peace, Davey Boy Smith. I preferred him with the long hair, but it's okay.
You know, a lot of white guys really can't pull off cornrows like that. British Bulldog did it, dude.
I was going to say, when I was a kid, dude, like, I enjoyed him with the long hair.
Nah, man, like, I dig him, man. Davey Boy, he... really underrated. Definitely on a who's who's list of greatest wrestlers who's never been a world champ.
Yeah, it's sad that he was. Like, if you've ever read Bret Hart's book, yeah, if you read his book, he talks about how he saw Davey Boy Smith shortly after he was fired from the WWE in 92, the end of 92.
Mm.
I remember he transitioned over to WCW there for a little bit, and he was like, Bret Hart said he saw Davey Boy Smith. Fucking all fucking yoked out, dude. He was fucking, like, on so much fucking steroids.
Ooh.
And, like, basically he was talking about how WCW was gonna put the title on him and shit, which obviously that never happened, but, yeah. You feel bad for him, like you said, dude. I mean, he never won the world championship, much like Razor Ramon, Scott Hall. I mean, it's one of those.
And that poor guy, I mean, fuck.
Speaking of number 6, that's my number 6, is Scott Hall, Razor Ramon, dude.
God, now that dude, that was wasted potential, man. I mean, pound for pound, in his prime as Razor, one of the best. Great talker, had a great gimmick, great in-ring work. But damn, and dude couldn't put the bottle down.
you saw the resurrection of Jake the Snake.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it's good to know that both Jake the Snake Roberts and Scott Hall are on or have been on the road to recovery for the past like 5 years.
And that's another dude that wasted so much prime and potential. The Snake.
Yeah, fuck yeah, it was, dude. Jake the Snake was a man, dude.
He legit scared the fuck out of me as a little kid, dude.
I understand that. I can definitely fucking see that.
One of the earlier rivalries I remember watching as a kid was that Warrior Undertaker rivalry with Jake turning on Warrior.
Yeah.
And his promos on "Don't Never Trust a Snake" is like, dude, it was frightening.
Well, it's like he speaks so low that like, you know, you're drawn in. It's not, you know, it's like the anti-warrior
promo. Yeah.
It's like the anti-Ultimate Warrior promo and shit. Like, dude, he always sucked you in. And so you were always interested with what he had to say. And then he was a good in-ring technician. I mean, for fuck's sake, the guy invented the DDT.
Everybody has a version of a DDT now. Fuck yeah, dude. Absolutely.
Yeah. I always found that hard to believe. I was like, really? Out of all those years of professional wrestling, Jake the Snake Roberts is the creator of the fucking DDT. He's the first guy that ever, I was like, all right, cool, let's roll with it. But
right?
Shit.
So what was that, your number six?
So six, for Razor Ramon. Razor? So we'll drop it down to number five. And I'm just purely taking names from when I was a kid. This is my top ten, like, when I was a kid. Triple H. I always enjoyed fucking Triple H, like, prior to being the Game and all that shit, when he was just, like, DX fucking Triple H.
Invading WCW?
Yeah, invading WCW. You know, mid-card Triple H is my favorite version of Triple H. Like, him against The Rock at SummerSlam in fucking Highway to Hell or whatever it was. That was, dude, like, one of my top matches as a kid, dude. Fucking love that shit. Number four, I'll throw it down to fucking Owen Hart. Owen Hart, I did much like Bret Hart. I always felt bad for Owen because it's like, why can't you just get along, man? Like, just be fucking nice, dude. Don't be a fucking asshole.
No, you know what? Fuck that. I sympathize with Owen because I'm the youngest kid of my family.
Yeah.
I love Brett, but I understand, you know, being...
You guys stand on your own, I guess.
Yeah, dude. Fucking...
You get behind that, I suppose.
He had one of the prettiest missile drop kicks off of the top rope that I've ever seen.
It was beautiful.
It was.
It was a thing of fucking magic. It was. But when him and Davey Boy and fucking Bret Hart all reunited in 97 on Raw, when they formed, like, you know...
The New Hart Foundation.
The greatest information of the fucking Hart Foundation. Like, that to me, like, that summer, dude. Like, when they reunited, dude, I, like, wanted to fucking cry. Dude, I was so happy. Like, well, even as Bret Hart is... Like, Bret Hart's, you know, run... Like, just Owen Hart at that point, dude. Which is fucking awesome. So, that's my number four. I go number three, Sting. Sting is definitely was up there, dude. Because like I said, like, I didn't get into WCW until 95.
Right.
So when Sting came around, just when I first was introduced to him, and like as like the surfer Sting.
Yeah.
Like, dude, the face paint's much like the Ultimate Warrior, dude. But I always thought Sting was a better wrestler, you know.
So
you're always gonna get a better match out of Sting. So, like,
without question.
So Sting would be my number three, and then obviously going into, like, you know, Crow Sting, and like that whole run up against to Stargate 97.
Right.
Against Hogan, dude, was fucking epic and is amazing, and, you know, made Sting the true star that he is today. And then number two and number one, and I flipped this order. If you would have asked me as a kid, the rules would have been reversed. But my number two is Shawn Michaels, and my number one is Bret Hart. Much like you. As a kid, I was fucking so into Shawn Michaels, dude. Like, Shawn Michaels could not do any fucking wrong. And then Bret Hart, I always liked Bret Hart, but at the same time, like, Shawn Michaels just was fucking way cooler than Bret Hart.
Oh yeah.
But as an adult, though, like, just seeing Bret Hart as the better wrestler, enjoying his mic work and just his general, you know, presentation just that much more.
Mm.
On top of the fact that he wears pink. I love the fucking color pink. So it's like, all right, I can get behind Bret Hart. And then, like, I was alluding to with the Owen Hart spot was, like, that was, like, my favorite fucking feud ever, dude. It was that summer of 97, dude. Because WCW was fucking awesome, dude. Like,
right.
You were on fucking fire with the whole Sting Hulk Hogan shit that was going on. And then that summer also, it was just, like, the whole Canada versus US, dude, feud was amazing to me. Like, that's what, like, the peak of professional wrestling, in my opinion, was.
Dude, it was great, man. It was really fun. So, let me ask you a conspiracy theory time.
Okay.
Survivor Series 97.
Yeah.
Shoot or work.
Later. I gotta say, dude, I mean, it was real. It was a shoot. I mean, to go 22 years later as, you know, taken to the grave, I mean, like, nah, I don't buy it.
Right. And, you know, that's where I stand on it, too. Like, you're gonna really have a guy be so pissed off and bitter about it all these years later just to protect the gimmick, as it were?
Yeah. And if there's anybody that was gonna do it, it'd be Bret Hart. That guy took that shit pretty seriously. But with that being said, I don't think he did. I think, you know, I mean, because you think of it, the timing's pretty fucking perfect, but...
Yeah.
You know, especially to leverage Bret Hart. But it's like, why would you want to increase the competition, though? Like, that makes no sense.
Right.
Like, okay, cool, we're getting rid of this guy. We're going to fucking make him into this huge fucking star. Even more of a star based on us screwing him over. You know, like, I don't know. You're not going to do that intentionally, I suppose.
Nah.
Well, I guess they did do it intentionally, but you get the idea. Like,
no,
it's like, oh, this is... Hey, wink, wink, hood, you know? That type of situation.
Yeah. Nah, I totally get you there, man. It's, I don't understand how people could actually think it's a work, because...
I think they're just bored. They're hanging out in their mom's basement too long.
Right.
Get with the real world, motherfucker.
Stop making all those YouTube videos about it, dude. It's fine. It's over. It's done with.
15 views isn't a lot, man.
And oddly enough, that's going to be more than what this podcast episode gets.
Oh, bro, I get it. I feel the pain.
I got a top 10 as well.
Okay.
Okay, so check it. I kind of try and represented all facets of my wrestling leanings.
Understood.
So 10, given enough time when his career's over, he could probably will be up the list. But what he's accomplished so far now and he's still going to accomplish... It kind of reinvigorated wrestling, especially for me. But my 10, Kenny Omega.
I would argue that, yeah, I think 10's too fucking low for Kenny Omega, dude. Like
I said, the only reason he's that low...
That's like at least top, like, 5. That's like halfway through. I can maybe see it. Like,
oh, dude. By the time he hangs up the boots, he'll be my number 3 or my number 2 for sure. But the only reason he's so... high up on the 10 list is that he's not done yet.
Right.
You know, okay. He just got done doing amazing work in New Japan. He's going to kick off the roof with AEW.
Yeah, him and Jericho are going to Double or Nothing.
For round two.
Event, dude. Round
That's
two.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, and like I said, that whole generation really made me love pro wrestling.
Yeah, and I would say that, like, to me is like one of my like favorite things about professional wrestling right now is like the Elite and Kenny Omega, dude. Like, honestly, I never watched New Japan professional wrestling until I started hearing about the Bullet Club.
Right.
And then, you know, like when he took it over from AJ, when AJ came to WWE, I was kind of like, really? Like, who's this Kenny Omega dude? And then you just start, like, he changes the world. That's his whole gimmick, right? He changes the world. So it's like, okay, yeah. Like I said, man, just within the short amount of time, like, the 3 years that it's been since that initial takeover, it's like, fuck, dude. Like,
he kind of did change the pro wrestling world.
He did.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I know, like, listening to, like, interviews with him and stuff, like, he talks about how he wants that to have more meaning than just professional wrestling, like, change the world. And I really think, like, he's already done it with it, you know. I think right. That is gonna change,
dude. And I am looking forward to what else they do, man. I am like we said, all in with AEW. It's gonna be great. It can't be nothing but good things.
I hope so.
Okay, so my number 9, when I was 9 or 10 for my friend's birthday, her parents took us to a house show in Yakima. A WWF house show in the Sundome. And the main event was Vader versus Bret Hart in a steel cage for the strap.
That's dope, dude.
Yeah.
My mom was too poor to fucking buy us tickets for shit like that when we were kids.
Oh, or so was my mom. That's how I managed to go, was my friend's parents. Because they had it better off than me, and that makes me sad. Still.
Dude, it should be sad. You should take pride in that, you know? It's your past, man.
Well, shit, I still can't afford to go to a wrestling show.
I got free tickets last time they came to town, and I couldn't even fucking go. Dude.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, I got fucking... the stupid-ass fucking storm fucking drove home that night. I was like, yeah, there's no way I'm getting my car back out of this.
Right.
They even made WWE.com for that this last time they came through the Sundome. Because they came out, and it was just a snowstorm, dude.
Shit.
Yeah, like, Daniel Bryan and fucking Cesaro were riding together, and they got their fucking car stuck, and it was like, hashtag WWE Yakima. showed them with the picture and shit. It was not a fun time to be in the Pacific Northwest for them.
Oh, no.
I even heard, like, I was listening the next day, like, because they had Rod in Portland that night, and I remember somebody, like, on this podcast I listened to on, they even made mention about the comments, like, oh, that was a, where was, there was, like, you know, a dead crowd or some shit or something like that, or, like, no, they made a comment about nobody being there, and I was like, yeah, because there was a fucking winter snowstorm in the Pacific Northwest, you fucking dick.
It's not that people didn't want to, it's just they couldn't.
Yeah.
It's called snow, asshole.
Yeah, pretty much, dude. But yeah, Bret Hart and Vader.
Vader, yeah. So they go the rounds. Of course, babyface Bret wins, sharpshooter in the middle of the fucking ring. After the bell, Vader gets up, womps on the face, climbs to the top rope, and goes for a fucking Vader bomb, dude. Like, I'm 10 years old and I am legitimately concerned about Bret fucking Hart. He got his ass kicked by some fat fuck in a mask all fucking match, and he's gonna plop on him and kill him.
It's like the nerve invader.
Right? Like, holy fuck, dude. Bret rolls away, slaps on sharpshooter, goes home happy. But that made an impression on me because, with the exception of maybe Bam Bam Bigelow, like, Vader, dude, he was the greatest big man and so agile, so athletic. Like, what 400-pound man could pull off a moonsault, dude? I am half his size and I can't do a fucking backflip.
Right. I remember when Vader came to WWF, dude, I was pretty stoked because I had seen him on WCW. And I remember, like, he was advertised for that War Games. He was teaming up with fucking Hogan and Sting and Macho Man to take on the fucking Dungeon of Doom. And then all of a sudden he was gone and Luger came in and, you know, like, all that shit happened in 95. And then, like, yeah, for the Royal Rumble in 96, they started showing the fucking promos for Vader.
Right.
And he was like, fuck, oh shit, Vader's coming to WWE. Like, I was fucking excited.
Oh, dude, that was a great time. And that's a dude that was really underused and misused in his time with WWF.
Like, he fucking, yeah, like, outside of, like, that whole Shawn Michaels, like, he got up to the Shawn Michaels feud, and that was kind of his peak. You know, that was the peak for his WWE run, basically. Get up, you fat piece of shit! Like, or whatever Shawn says to
him at SummerSlam. Like, you know, there's all the stories, especially back then, of some people, we're not gonna name Shawn Michaels, who would politic their shit in the backstage locker room.
I'm telling you, Vince, he's a fat piece of shit!
It's like, and that's what kinda made me not like Shawn Michaels.
Yeah. I like the attitude. I like the ego. I think it's kind of what drew me, like, to him, dude. Was like,
I think that's what drew me to Bret Hart more. Mm-hmm. Because you had that loudmouth, cocky little shit. And you had the equally loudmouth, equally cocky other shit. Mm-hmm. But one would usually shut the mouth of the other. And...
oh, dude. That feud. Like, I wanted to see that. That WrestleMania 12 match, I know people, like, shit on it nowadays. Like, there was Iron Man match. Like, no one cares about Iron Man match, which, I, as an adult now, I was like, I really don't care about Iron Man matches.
No, I don't have the time for it.
As a kid, dude, like, that was my favorite fucking match ever, dude.
Dude, it was good. It was really good.
Yeah.
You know, and back in the day when I was a kid, you know, I really didn't appreciate technical wrestler like my number 8, Mr. Perfect, or, you know, a Dean Malenko or something, because, you know, they're doing hold after hold after hold, and, you know, I like seeing Rey Mysterio jump from one corner to the other, or, you know, a Vader doing a choke slam to a powerbomb to a squish to, you're done, you got fucked up. As I'm older, I could watch all those old matches and just really appreciate the technicians a lot more. I like Dean Malenko a lot now, like Bret Hart, no surprise, in my number 1. We'll get to him here soon.
Spoiler alert, geez, Sam. Make the listeners not skip fucking 15 seconds
right.
forward.
That was what, 8?
Yeah.
Yep.
You're down to Mr. Perfect at number 8.
7, Razor on my list. 6, Macho Man.
Macho Man was a good one. I should have said Macho Man, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just some about those stupid fucking Slim Jim commercials and...
I liked him when he fought DDP, dude, when he had that...
That was a good fucking feud, like, dude.
That was fucking so... I don't even want to say it was underrated, but it was just like...
Well, you had the Sting Hogan thing going on at the time, right? Yeah. You hear DDP talk about it now, like I heard him talk about it on The Art of Wrestling, and they're going over the match, and, you know, Macho saying, "Yeah, I think I'll take the diamond cutter." You know, it's like, oh, he had a mind for the business, dude.
Yeah.
And you don't get that a whole lot anymore. I'm not saying it doesn't exist, but his mind for the business was really great.
I was really sad when he died. Like, that was one of the times, like the two that really bothered me was Rowdy Roddy Piper and fucking Macho Man Randy Savage. Those were, like, the two wrestling deaths that, like, in recent years at least, like,
yeah,
really, you know, really fucking hit me hard. Which, honestly, I should have included Roddy Piper within that
show. That's my number 5, by the way.
Dude.
But, dude, speaking of a prototype fucking heel, Roddy, man.
I love Roddy Piper.
And his mic work, so great.
And They Live is quite possibly one of the greatest films ever. Like, I love that fucking film.
Like,
Keith David, man. Doesn't get any
that was one of the best fights in a movie ever.
It is, like, quite possibly the best fight.
Yeah, it's up there, bro. I loved it. And Roddy on Sonny, dude.
No shit. That's a good fucking... Another good fucking point.
Yeah, dude. I just all around, man.
I loved his podcast too. When he was doing his podcast, like, that was quite possibly, like, one of my favorite wrestling podcasts when he was doing it.
Piper's Pit, yeah.
I love that shit. He spoke from the fucking gut, dude. Like,
dude, and I appreciated that a lot, man. You knew what you were getting with Piper.
Yeah, that was, like I said, man, I was really fucking sad when he died.
Really
fucking sad. Like, that one was fucking,
like, fuck. Famous people, you know, celebrities, I don't want to sound heartless and say I don't care if they die, because they got families and shit, but
you know,
it doesn't really affect me, because you don't know them, you never have, and you probably never would have.
Yeah,
but
it was also good for us, like, he came from the Pacific Northwest too, man.
Yeah,
that was,
dude.
Another thing, he was from Portland, dude, so it was like...
It literally and figuratively hit close to home. Yeah, I was really bummed and bothered by Roddy dying too, because that just sucks.
Like, when Dusty died, like, no offense to Dusty, but it was like, I was never that big of a Dusty Rhodes fan.
Right.
And then again, he was a little bit before my... I always knew him for WCW commentator.
Yeah.
You know, like, that was my knowledge of, like, I was more, like, in tune with Goldust, you know?
Right.
And when I found out that was Dustin Rhodes, I remember when I first found out that was, like... That was Steve Austin was Steve Austin. I didn't realize that was Stunning Steve Austin when he first came over.
Right.
And then it was like Goldust was Dustin Rollins. I was like, what? That's Dustin Rollins? Like, I remember Dustin Rollins from WCW. Like, what the fuck? Mark Marrow. I liked Wild Man Mark Marrow, dude. People shit on him, but I liked him.
I didn't like Wild Man Mark Marrow. I like Johnny B. Bad, though.
Johnny B. Bad was fucking...
It's the same fucking thing.
I remember, when Hollywood Video went out of business, I picked up a copy of Halloween Havoc 94, and that was the opening match, was Johnny B. Bad versus fucking Diamond Dallas
Page. Yeah, dude.
And it was like, I remember watching that match so many fucking times, because I'd always put that on before I went to bed, and like fucking see that match fucking over and over, and it was like, yeah, Johnny Bad was pretty fucking entertaining, man, but fucking Ames was ripping this shit off from Little Richard.
Yeah, oh, big time. Yeah. Speaking of my...
Johnny B. Bad, number fucking 5.
Oh, no one would ever do that.
My number 1 is going to rival anybody else's number 1. Johnny B. Bad, come on down.
It's DDP.
Mm.
Like, he was my guy when I watched WCW.
Yeah.
And that feud with Macho is a big reason why. When the Outsiders had that 2-on-3 tag match, what was it? Not Bash at the Beach.
Great American Bash.
Yeah. And Hogan came out, and he is going to make the save, and WCW is going to win. And then he fucking turned heel and gave the leg to Macho all of a sudden. Oh, that was Bash at the Beach. Yeah, that was okay. That was Bash.
I was thinking something else. I was thinking like 97
or something. Dude, like... That legit made me cry, first and foremost, because, like, I was a Hulkamaniac. That was a bad memory.
I like Diamond Dallas Page when he had that feud with Scott Steiner.
Yeah.
That match at Slamboree, like, 99 or whatever it was. Like, 98, I think it may have been. I don't know. It was one of those years. But, like, I remember getting to see them live in person when DDP won the World Championship.
Oh, nice.
At Spring Stampede the night before. In Tacoma, they had Nitro and Yakima.
Yeah,
and the main event was DDP versus fucking Scott Steiner and shit. So,
legit number three, Jericho. Not a whole lot that dude hasn't done.
Chris Jericho.
Yeah,
I love Chris Jericho, dude.
And he still reinvents himself now.
Yeah, it's like once you think Chris Jericho's done and out, like he fucking comes back with like a completely new persona.
Yeah, dude, it's that stint he did with New Japan really reinvigorated him, I think. And yeah. It he's still good. He's still just so damn good. Two, just because of the gimmick and not the person, Hulk Hogan. Hold it against the guy, but you know, the gimmick. Too many memories there, man. Not really. not after that NWO bullshit. But.
can't forgive that.
No. But number one, like you.
Bret Hitman Hart.
Absolutely. Sharpshooter, best submission in the game, I'd say. So, I think we're going to wrap up here on the Comics on Comics podcast. Kevin, thank you so much for coming and talking some wrestling, my man.
It was fucking my pleasure, dude. Like, this was definitely a fucking fun time to sit back and kicking in, fucking talking about professional wrestling.
Right on, dude. Right on. So, why don't you tell the folks where they can find you at?
Oh, yeah, dude. Fucking plugs, right? Yeah. For once, I get to plug my shit. Like,
yeah, absolutely. The other end.
So, people can totally check us out. Check me out. I have a podcast called the podcast that no one listens to, which you can find us on pretty much any major podcast platform, you know, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play. Just fucking search our name, podcast that no one listens to. And then, yeah, we do open mic comedy I don't know when this releases, but every Thursday at a Hop Nation in Yakima, Washington, we do open mic. So 7:30 sign up, fucking 8 o'clock, fucking showtime, dude. So be there, be square, motherfuckers. That's where people can find me, though, Sam.
Right on, brother. I appreciate that. And did you want to plug your wrestling podcast?
Oh, yeah. Well, I say the Totally Necessary Wrestling Podcast, but it's kind of like the banner show. Like, we have a network, so on that same feed, you also get two other podcasts that I do weekly. We do the Totally Necessary Wrestling Podcast every Friday.
Okay.
And the podcast that no one listens to drops every fucking Thursday.
Okay.
And then bi-weekly, we do a podcast called the In the Mouth of Madness podcast, and that's just our riff track podcast where we provide commentary for movies, so you can sync up our podcast and watch the movie with us as we talk shit about it.
Oh, dude,
it's really legit. Entertaining.
That's the one you do with Brandon, right?
Yeah, it's the one I do it with Brandon Allen and Dustin Barron.
Nice, dude. Right on.
And that's every Wednesday.
F and A. Go check that out, folks. And before we close up, we got the last segment of the show. Things to do while you're watching, but no one will remember. Yeah, so in June 12th, I will be down in Santa Fe at the Laughs Comedy Club. And June 18th and 19th, I will be up in Seattle at the Comedy Underground. That's Kirkland, but same fucking diff. They don't need to know.
People know Seattle, but the whole surrounding area is just Seattle.
Yeah. You don't need to worry any.
It's like more. Even us, with us being in Yakima, everybody's like, oh, Seattle, right? It rains there. It's like, no, actually, you have no idea about the geographical location of fucking Washington State, but whatever.
Dude, every time I go on the road and people ask where I'm from, Washington. Oh, I heard Seattle's a great town. I wouldn't know. I don't fucking live there.
Because you don't live in fucking, like, Pullman or something. Fuck Pullman, dude.
Oh, dude.
I'll go on record on your podcast to say that. Fuck the city of Pullman, dude. That town sucks.
the views of Kevin and Porter are not those shared by Comics on Nah, fuck Pullman. Alrighty, guys. This has been Comics on Comics. I have been your host, Sam Martinez. Special thanks to our guest, Kevin Porter, and we shall see you on